Thanks for listening to the Adam Carolla Show on Podcast One.
Well, we're still at sea, and we're doing the traditional suite show, which is all of us gathering in my palatial suite to talk about the trials and the tribulations of being out at sea and all the funny stories and hijinks that go along. First, I'll hit Dos Equis. Hey, college football fans, need to brush up on your knowledge? Enroll in the Dos Equis College Football College. You'll learn from brilliant football minds like Jay Cutler, Martellus Bennett, Katie Nolan, John Bacon. Not only will you win every football argument this season, you could enter for a chance to win tickets to the 2020 College Football Playoffs National Championship. So that's not too shabby. Be the first in your family to earn a football watching certificate from a beer school. Think about how prestigious that is. Enroll in Dos Equis College Football College at dosequis.com/edu. Dos Equis. Keep it interesante. Right, Dawson?
Dos Equis Beer Brands. Enjoy Dos Equis responsibly. Imported by Cervezas Mexicanas. White Plains, New York. Copyright 2019. Dos Equis Beer Brands. No purchase necessary. 50 USDC 21 plus only. Enter by 12/2019. Full rules available at dosequis.com/edu.
Live from Adam's suite aboard the Corolla Cruise, this is the Adam Carolla Show. With Gina Grad on news and Bald Brian on point shitting. Plus a special one-on-one with Neil deGrasse Tyson. And now, a man so angry, they renamed the ship the Hate Boat. Adam Carolla.
Yeah, get it on. Got to get it on. No choice but the on mandate. Get it on and welcome to the show. People's voices are blown out from singing karaoke last night. It's been eventful in a positive way, this cruise so far. Yes?
Yeah. It's been packed wall to wall with activities and people, and I don't feel tired. It's just been so much fun.
Yeah, I've been having a great time. And the fans have been awesome.
Yep.
Like, every year we're like, oh, everyone's so nice. Everyone's so incredibly nice and gracious and happy to be here.
Yeah, it's a really good community, which I'm glad. It's nice. I there's something about them coming together and enjoying one another, which makes it nice. And it's also incredible to hear where everyone came from. Yeah. And all the husbands and wives, and there's the fathers and sons. It's really, if I had a heart, it would be touched right now. So
you may not get this, Adam and Gina. Do you experience this where you tell people what you're doing this weekend? Like you just tell some random associate, like, "Oh yeah, I'm going on a cruise with for work," and there's going to be fans. And the response is often like, "Oh, trapped on a boat with 500 fans." Like, no, it's not like that. It's actually
pretty
really
amazing.
Fun. Everyone's really nice.
And that's what I told people at the meet and greet. They're like, "Oh, we don't want to bother you." I'm like, "Bother us? This is a family reunion. We go on a family reunion every year."
Yeah, I of course get it the most because, you know, trapped on a boat with all your fans and you can't breathe. And I have this weird thing that I've somehow convinced people that I don't like people. But
it's just your actions, your words.
I hang out with people. But all I do is hang out with people all the goddamn time. I mean, Mike and I were just walking along the island. We found some guys in a cabana. They're like, "Hey, Ace Man." You know, 9 beers later, we're still sitting there eating their tuna wraps.
Never made it to the jet skis.
Yeah, never made it. I mean, we're hanging out. This guy made music stands. He manufactured music stands. And we started talking about all the nuts and the bolts of what it takes to make literally
it's a lot of nuts and bolts.
A music stand. Oh, we got into powder coating.
Oh, my.
We took a deep dive into manufacturing.
This is what you did instead of jet skiing?
Yes, and the Chinese trying to rip off his patents and everything else. So,
August, were you just eating to block out the noise?
Those hamburgers were
good,
quality.
Yeah.
So good
burgers. So we just drank all their beer and ate all their food. Anyway, let's see. So everyone's been great. The events have been great. We got a few more coming up. I think me and Drew are doing a show later. We're going to show No Safe Spaces later as well. So we're looking forward to that. And I think we're going to do the news. We'll front load the news. We'll do the news at the top with Gina Grad, and then we'll throw it to Neil deGrasse Tyson. So why don't you get yourself poised with your news there,
you got it.
Gina Grad.
G Gina, Greg.
We have an intro?
Yeah, we can drop it in post. Yeah.
We don't need it. Yeah.
Okay, tell me when to go.
All right.
Yeah, all right. Okay.
So we've had beautiful weather where we've been. I was a little worried about rain and lightning, but none to be seen. Not so much in Kansas. A distance runner has been killed by lightning as he was about to cross the finish line in southeast Kansas. 33-year-old Thomas Stanley was less than a quarter mile from finishing the Flat Rock Trail Race at Elk City State Park. He was struck by lightning. The race director said the day started off hot and sunny. A little storm moved in. And while some racers, including a doctor, attempted CPR, others in the crowd jumped in their vehicles to start gathering other runners off the road and taking them to the finish line. Race organizers said in a Facebook post that Stanley was included as a finisher in the final result. Although he didn't cross the finish line, he did complete the full distance right before he hit that ribbon.
How do you think, honestly, like if you got the guy who came in second place really drunk and you really got him drunk, you went, how do you feel about winning that race? I mean, you were coming in second and the guy'd be like, well, you never want to see a fellow runner go down.
You never want to win because of injury.
But, you know, when you get hit by lightning, you must have done something to somebody at
force
some
majeure.
Point,
it's
right?
Part of the course, man. It's part of the course. I could have tripped in a puddle.
I'm talking more cosmically, you know? Did the guy have a stepdaughter? You know, I'm just saying, when you get hit by lightning, that's a statement. I'm not a religious man, but that's not the same as being hit by a truck.
No.
This is a force majeure.
Yeah.
So
the force majeure.
This first place victory feels pretty good about now. And then he's probably spinning it. I was catching him. lightning or not, I definitely would have got him at the wire.
The lightning made it official.
Yeah. Jesus Christ.
Yeah, it happened.
By light. Also, it's the worst way to go for whoever survives because... What was the guy's name?
Something Stanley. Thomas Stanley.
Thomas. Because at some point, you know, the guy's running this race, right? He's 39 or 40.
33.
He's got a wife, you know, a kid. And then like, at some point, somebody's going to say to the wife, how's Tom doing? How's Thomas doing? And they're going to go, well, not well, actually, he was hit by lightning. And then the person's going to laugh really hard. And then the person's going to have to go, he's dead.
Yeah.
He's dead. Like you, right?
Yeah.
You say cancer, everyone sobers up immediately. They look down. They know exactly, like, we know exactly how to act when we hear cancer. Lightning could either get a nervous laugh or just I don't believe you
laugh.
And now we got to circle back.
Yeah, she cries every time she hears Thunderstruck by AC/DC.
Right.
Very triggering.
God, how many movies has that been shoehorned in to how many, like, sports
a
movies?
A lot recently, too.
Yes. All right. So he'll be missed.
He will be missed.
Mm-hmm.
So I imagine this is a pretty good problem to have. A man was accused of shoplifting after staff saw a suspicious bulge in his jeans. But it turned out it was his very own 10-inch penis. 47-year-old Steve Whitehurst showed security his penis after a female manager raised the alarm on him. He'd been buying hundreds of dollars worth of stuff at a menswear store in England, and he was with his girlfriend and his grandson. But things came to a head at the checkout counter when the store manager asked about the bulge, specifically.
I don't know. So, like, it's up there with the most flattering thing that ever happened to me in my entire scholastic career is I probably got a B on a test and was accused of cheating by the teacher. It's like, wow, it felt so good to be accused of cheating when I didn't actually cheat. But it also meant she knew I was a moron.
Yeah, she didn't have faith
in
you.
But also meant
jump.
I got lucky on this true or false or ABC Scantron or whatever. But it was very flattering. You know, it's like I guess somebody thinking you've had work done. You've had work done.
No, I have not had work done.
Yeah, that's what it is.
Yeah. Well, this guy was not pleased or flattered.
Really?
He said, well, he's been a little bit of a bitch about it. Steve said in an interview, the manager started arguing with me. She wouldn't let it go. I just kept telling her it was my penis. He finally relented, took his pants off to show his boxers, but that wasn't good enough.
Wow.
Steve said he was taken into a separate room so the security guard could see him naked and give them the all clear at the store in the mall.
Yeah. Here's why
I would make a bad security guard because we would go into that dressing room and close the door. And I'd be like, just leave your shorts on, dude. How long do you think we have to stand here to simulate how long it would take for me to look at your hog?
1 minute
and
is
then
too
give
long.
A thumb a thumbs up.
10 seconds.
All right,
too short.
We about good?
Yeah.
You ready?
Yeah, I think we the illusion is.
All right,
is
you look sort of indignant.
Yeah, okay.
And I'll have a look of quiet confidence.
Kind of a scowl.
Out the door. Yeah. All right. Okay. You ready? Yep. Here we go. Yep. Break. That would be the worst. I would be the worst security guard in almost ever. I wouldn't even be good at airports. Every chick with red hair, every kid under 11, I'd just be like, leave the belt on.
Yeah, what could you possibly be packing?
Fine. I mean, when I used to teach traffic school, they had really specific instructions about how long people had to stay and how they couldn't be late. It was all this crap about, I'll figure it out one day, but it's like they needed, you know, 622 minutes or, oh no, no, it was like 400 minutes or whatever it was of actual instruction, you know, whatever it was, as mandated by the state of California. And I had to get bonded and stuff because you can't just hand out these certificates. They count them. The DMV gives them to you, blah, blah, blah. People roll in 2 hours late. I'd be like, sit down. I'm not saying anything anyway. Like, I didn't care.
What did you know?
They would want, my lunches were supposed to be 30 minutes. It'd be 2 hours. I didn't care. I always knew, who cares? You people, what'd you do? You rolled through a four-way stop sign in Arleta. Now you're being punished on a Sunday at a YMCA. Like, who cared? Who are the people who care so much about life? Like, I always knew, nobody cares. You don't care. I don't care. The DMV doesn't care. No one really cares. Everyone at the DMV is sort of paid to look like care. And what do you really need to be coached up on? 50-year-old mother of three. You've been driving for 31 years. Were you really?
Yeah, it's punitive.
9 miles an hour past over the posted speed limit. What am I going to teach you? How am I going to change you? Can we all just get through this ritual and get the fuck back to our houses and watch TV and wait to die? So I was always, I never cared. I was completely in charge of 30 people. And I didn't care. I would give them all a certificate in the first 10 minutes if I could. But the DMV would, like, monitor, and they knew. And the people from the place I taught would monitor once in a while. And they'd see people leaving at 9 in the morning. It wouldn't work. But if I could, I would do that. Who are all the people that just work at the movie theater and work at the mall and work in the... I could lose my job. Like, I could have lost my job, too. I just looked around and saw 30 people didn't work for the DMV, and I was like, screw it. We're going to have fun at lunch. What is that? Where does it come from, and how come so many people have it, and are they ever smart?
Well, I think even when you were a little more financially insecure, you always knew you had bigger fish to fry.
Yes.
I think these people just don't know that they have bigger fish to fry. This is it. You might as well really dig in.
Yeah, I was like, this is a stupid job. They pay me $86 a day, and these people don't deserve to be here. They all got chicken shit tickets, and I don't even know why we're sort of going through this stupid dance that society makes us do.
What does it matter, ultimately?
Right. It doesn't matter, and the threat of, I could lose my job, as a greeter at the mall, like you have a horrible job. These are all horrible jobs you could lose. People need to fucking lighten up a little bit. And not only that, like, just use your head. Like, you know, like, again, like, when someone would roll in an hour late to my class, they'd be like, oh, I'll stay after. I'd go, just sit down. Just, what do I care?
Yeah, you have to stay after too.
I get the part where you get to lord your will over somebody, but that shouldn't feel good. You should feel uncomfortable doing that.
Yeah. Heavy is the head that wears
What was
the
that
crown.
Story? Yes.
That is the man with the 10-inch penis.
Oh, yeah. I miss that guy.
You guys can relate, right?
Yeah. No one needs to see that guy's hog.
And even if he did stuff a couple of sports socks in there, I mean, who's going to... They really committed to this.
Yeah. Maybe I might do that when I have a grandson. Yeah. I might just pay off some store owner to accuse me of stealing something just so he thinks grandpa has a huge hog.
Yeah. If you guys
know what I mean?
If you guys want to see a 10-inch penis, just hand me a mirror.
Yeah. I'm saying, like, I think I could go to a Big Five sporting goods thing.
I got it.
I think I could go to like the manager or just a cashier at a big five and go like, hey, you want to make $100 like super
more than
fast? I'm going to bring my grandson in here. You accuse me of stealing one of those tubes of tennis balls. Okay. Just that tube of tennis balls.
Or a dumbbell, I guess.
I like the tube. I like the specificity of the tube of tennis balls. And then you get really, and then we'll go the back, and then we'll have the security guy, and I'll put him down for a double saw buck. And my grandson will just sit here and marvel.
That's good.
Yeah, it's going to be
awesome.
It's a
win-win.
It's win-win. Mm-hmm.
Well, I'm sorry to make this so grim again, but a 60-year-old British man has collapsed and died in an Italian sex shop while watching porn, and this was headline news all over Europe. The man has not been named, reportedly left his bike outside the shop near Venice before entering the private booth. Staff say they became concerned when he failed to emerge after a half hour, because apparently that's not normal in those booths, and they found him collapsed on the floor.
I'm going to bring my grandson with me to the sex shop.
In Italy.
We're going to ride our bike.
They said he seemed tired when he came in and he was pronounced dead at the scene. So I think that is where he went to die. I think he knew it.
Doing what he loved.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
I don't know if there's such a thing as a fake window. I mean, I know you can frame things out and do some stuff, but I mean like a legitimate, like if Pella or one of those big companies, I'm trying to think of who makes all the window companies.
Oh, it's on the tip of my tongue.
What is it? Anderson. Like a fake window. Here's what I'm saying. When we were driving through Florida to get to, we're going to Miami, leaving wherever. West Palm Beach. At a certain point, we're going along the main highway, 395 or whatever it was. We passed a couple of big stucco, like, sex shop, you know, sex emporium or whatever places.
That we did.
And all it is unbroken stucco, you know, 30 foot high and 150 foot long. And it's always some weird mauve color, weird turquoisey or mauve or something. It's unbroken. And I see it and I get depressed. Like, I don't know why the lack of windows depresses me.
That's an upsell for the customer. They don't want windows.
I know, but as a guy's commuting, I'm becoming depressed from seeing your giant sex bunker because I'm thinking about what's going on in there and who's been working there and who owns that place and blah, blah, blah. And if they could just dot the outside with fake windows, happy windows, I'd be in a much better mood as I was going to Miami. All those windowless buildings always feels weird to me. It feels like something evil is going on inside of them, like the gimp's in there right now.
When Chris and I were looking for an apartment way back in the day, the only criteria I had, the only like must have, I was like, got to be a window in the bathroom. I hate bathrooms without windows.
Right.
I'm exactly the same.
Yeah. I'm like, I hate, because we've all had those crappy apartments with, you know, bathrooms with no windows. It's terrible.
It's weird.
I hate it.
Absolutely.
I agree.
We both have windows in the bathroom, and that's a game changer.
So this guy was actively engaged in something when he had a heart attack?
He was collapsed on the floor, but he was in the porno video booth. And how quaint is the porno video booth?
It's such a weird, I mean, I don't see, I grew up in the valley, so we had a lot of porn, but we didn't have a lot of snow. So when I have to sit Sunny down and give him that, I used to have to hike 6 miles through the snow just to get to school.
Right.
I'm going to do that with video porn and a booth. Like I used to go, you know, we'd have to go to a booth. We'd have to suffer this indignity of having to go to a booth, and then you'd have to feed change into it.
Yeah.
But they worked out, some mathematician in some lab worked out that $1.50 worth of quarters got you 4.5 minutes, but it wasn't quite enough time.
Wasn't the right
and then you'd have to get your pants back up and reach into your pockets and get out more change.
Or God, make more change to the front desk.
By the time you were
shuffle out with your
by
pants
the time you were done with that, you had to almost start over again and then repeat, rinse, and repeat again. So like you could put hundreds of dollars into that change booth. There was this place, I don't know. Oh, God, it was called like Ye Old Sex Shop or something. Shoppy, you know. There was a place called Star Garden, and that was in North Hollywood. I think that's still there. Probably no windows. And up the up the street from Star Garden was one of those like sex shop, whatever places. And they had one of those things where the chick would get in the middle and get naked and had all the mirrors. Like Madonna does, like, yeah, you know, she'll do a sexy
open
version of this, but yep, not this. That was not this.
And did the windows go up and down? Like they shut on you if you ran out of quarters?
The light would like go on inside the booth and you couldn't see through the mirror or through the window.
Oh.
And then you feed the quarters in and the light would go off and then you could see through. And I remember two things. I remember once going there with a bunch of guys. One of them was Ray. And Ray just kept banging on the glass trying to get the chick over to his side because it's like an octagon of mirrors, you know? He was banging on it. And then another time...
Wait, Ray did that?
Another time... It was dark in like Ray's booth and some other guy ran out of change and his booth went light.
Yeah.
And Ray could see him across the octagon because it lit up. Yeah. And the guy had his pants down and Ray started screaming at him. Awesome. And then later on,
somewhere between Madonna and Taken,
I'd found out later on, I saw a guy like seriously like pushing a mop bucket like through there. Like that was a job. The guy had to get in there and mop.
The mighty
up.
Have fallen.
Yeah, it was tough sledding. What? I'm trying to think. Do you have any internet?
Venus Fair.
Yeah, it was.
Oh God.
Live show.
Venus Fair.
Can we do it from the octagon?
No windows. And let me tell you something else, builders out there with your windowless dwellings. Let me tell you what makes me more depressed than no windows. The weird styrofoam sort of Roman OG applique that you stick on the front of the house to the building to like simulate some sort of window.
Instant elegance.
Yes, it's like it's literally extruded styrofoam with a weird stucco wrap over it, and you put it on with like liquid nails, and it's 5 inches by 4.5 and has a Roman OG cut on it or something. You stick it on the outside and it's like, oh, now we've classed this whorehouse up. I don't like that.
What about columns on like ranch houses?
Yeah, I like a column when it's holding something up and it has its place.
Exactly.
But when it doesn't have its place, it's to work like it's that kind of you take cinder blocks, you make a bunker, and then you name it the Bunny Ranch, and then you try to class it up by sticking stuff
so
to the
fancy
outside of it, and it just makes it worse.
It does not work.
It's like a huge big fat chick with press on nails. It's like you're adding something, and for some reason, it's making it worse. Sorry, let me hit Simply Safe. That's what I wanted to say. 83% of burglars look for an alarm. That makes sense. Only 1 in 5 homes have security, because most companies don't make it easy. It's expensive, drilling, pulling wires. It's a hassle. Simply Safe protects your whole home with 24/7 monitoring at a fraction of the cost. Just $15 a month. Often, by the way, police assume a false alarm, but not with Simply Safe because they have their video verification technology. Visually confirms the break-in is happening, so you don't get the false alarms. And just for my listeners, we got a huge deal right now. Go to simplysafe.com/app. Get a free HD security camera when you order. It's $100 value. Free when you go to simplysafe.com/Adam, right, Dawson?
Make sure you take advantage of Simply Safe's video verification technology. You'll have eyes on home 24/7 and the video evidence if someone tries to get in. Get your free HD security camera now at simplysafe.com/Adam. That's simplysafe.com/Adam.
All right, Gina Grad, what else we got?
Well, you're always hearing about the man cave and the man's got to escape, but this story kind of caught my eye because everybody loves their little me time now more than ever, millennials, Gen Xers, but women apparently are desperately seeking getaways in their own homes now. So in a survey conducted online by the Harris Poll, 2,032 U.S. adults ages 18 and older were asked about their favorite room in their house, and 1 in 10 said they chose it because it was where they could hide from their family. And that number jumps to 16% for women. So meanwhile, millennials and Gen Xers and baby boomers all cited the master bedroom as their favorite, which falls in line with those who are trying to escape everyone else in the house.
You said it jumps to 16%.
Yeah, from
with
10.
Women?
Yeah, from 10 to 16%. Women are looking for ways to evade the fam.
Yeah, it's kind of weird. You got to be. It's a slippery slope when you're a lazy parent like I am, which is. My kids just like the rooms. They go to the rooms. They play their video games. Perfect. They muss around on the phone. They fire up their ceiling fan. They shut the door. And I'm like, you in there? And they're like, I'm in here. All right, good talk. And I go back to my bed. I go back to the den and close the door. Like, I'm like, good. They don't want to hang either.
That's right.
It's like it's
we see
like,
an eye.
Like, yeah, treat them like when you see that hobo sits across from you on the subway and you're like, yeah. No eye contact. He's going to want to talk.
Yep.
Right.
The social contract. Today,
yeah. That's how I treat my kids that way. And Lynette's that way too. Like everyone in my family just break. Like we all meet in the kitchen. We get a hand in. I'm like, all right. We're like a posse. I'm like, all right, now spread out.
Let's go to
everyone just spreads
so
out.
And
everyone,
just
goes, everyone goes to the room and closes their door. And that's then Olga nice. And Phil just sit in the kitchen. And it's funny because Phil, it's a funny thing because Phil, if I'm in the kitchen, he'll come in and lay on top of my feet if I'm making eggs or whatever. He doesn't care. He sits, the kitchen has white tile and there's hardwood, brown hardwood that goes to the kitchen. And Phil lays right on the border, but he won't go into the kitchen when Olga's in the kitchen because Olga makes a noise, you know, Phil. And Phil like gets up and trots away and like goes,
yeah.
But he doesn't go to the next room because he knows there's something going on in that kitchen, but he won't enter while Olga's in there because she'll kick him in the ribs. Yeah. So he just sits literally on the border. He just sits there like he's in the DMZ in Korea or something. He just mans his post and he just sits there and he just watches Olga make stuff that he's not entitled to. Although if she's gone, he's entitled to it.
That's he's coachable,
completely and utterly coachable.
Fast learner,
yeah. And then there's also weirdness around like dinner. Like my kids eat at all. Everyone eats at all different times in my house, which is totally unacceptable, I'm sure, to any therapist. But I'm like, I'll say to my daughter, "You want to eat dinner?" And she'll be like, "No, I'm good for a while." And I go, okay. And then I'll go eat dinner. And then I'll say, look, everyone's got a schedule. Also, the goddamn kids with the, he's got basketball practice and she's got volleyball practice. Everyone's carting everyone around at 8 o'clock at night. Would your parents ever do that?
100%
eight at night?
Not.
Like, hey, come get me from this place and take me back to that place.
No, our practices were always like done by, you know, dinner time. And then we had dinner.
But imagine selling to your dad that you guys eat dinner somewhere whenever you want that other lady makes. And then you take me to this place at night, and then you come pick me up later that night. And then on the way home, I'll tell you where we should stop and eat. Can you imagine selling that?
That'd be a tough sell.
That'd be a very difficult sell.
I did not realize you worked for them.
Oh, yeah. That's how amazing. It works now. Yes. Everyone works for their kids, essentially, because they – I think they want them to like them, but it always
overrated.
Backfires.
Yeah. Well, that's something I do enjoy because I'm always just been like, you know, living single and having, you know, cooking something and then being my reward is getting to watch a movie or something and sit with my dinner. I love that. Even if I'm living with somebody. But now with a little one, it is family dinner night every night and we do not play. He'll get up and start dancing around and we're like, chair, buddy. It's dinner time.
Yeah.
Wrangling
it's a better
kids,
life.
Yeah. Wrangling the kids for dinner is a challenge.
You
have it easy.
I gotta say, I do. Well, I don't have it easy. I pay for everything. You know, people always say, like, what's it like having twins? I'm like, just throw money at the problem. Seriously, you get a night nurse, you're not miserable. You get some Haitian lady to sleep in your bedroom with your kids, and you can sleep through the night. Like people go like, oh, well, it's got to be rough. And then you had to do morning radio and you have to get up and then your wives have to get up. And like, or you could just pay someone and you can sleep.
So literally, because I've never experienced this, you just somebody basically moves into your house at night and you sleep. And if the kid cries, they deal with it.
Oh, my God. Let me tell you the worst part about being rich.
Do tell.
You have to literally live with strangers from different lands who have third grade education and came here on a donkey. They are released inside of your house to destroy your life.
You have to deal with a lot of xenophobia.
Oh, my God. I had this crazy moment where I came home So I came home. It was a perfect, like, you know how I profile everybody all the time?
I've heard
you know
something
that.
About
but,
that.
It's your defining but, characteristic.
And I would stop doing it if I was ever wrong. I'm never wrong. I walked through the door the other day. I pull into the garage. I walk into the door. And I walk in, and there's Olga downstairs in the laundry room, and she's doing laundry. And I'm like, hey, Olga. She's like, hey, Mr. Adam's father. And I say, it's a courtship Eddie father reference. Anyway, so she's there, and I'm standing downstairs, and I'm hearing a vacuum running upstairs. I said, Olga, how can you be in two places at one time?
I knew you were good.
You're doing the laundry down here. I hear a vacuum upstairs.
Yeah, now you're bending
4:30
time.
In the afternoon. Who's vacuuming? And then I do this move where I'm like, well, it's not the kids. It's not Sonny. It's not Italian. I guess it's Lynette. Lynette's vacuuming upstairs. And I thought, huh, that's weird because I've profiled her as a non-vacuumer. She does it on occasion, but my general profile is that goes against.
It's not like, whoops, 4 o'clock.
Her profile. Yeah, it's a kind of thing where, they're guys you go out to eat with who never pick up the check. Mm-hmm. And at some point, that person will go, oh, yeah, let me get this check. And then you'll go, huh? That's not like Frank. And then at some point they go, I have an opportunity to get in on a condo development that I'd like to. And you're like, oh, yeah. This is the pit. You need it $9,000.
Snapping
that's
into focus.
Why you picked up the deli check. There's something. Yeah. It comes into focus. So I hear vacuuming going on upstairs, and I'm like, huh, Olga's downstairs. It's not fitting Lynette's profile. Well, I guess she is vacuuming upstairs. I walk up the stairs. You walk up the stairs in my house. There's a dining room table, like right when you land. Natalia and Lynette are sitting at the table eating McDonald's, and there's a maid pushing the vacuum past their feet. And I was like, yep, all right, we're back.
Snapped into focus.
We're back.
There's something comforting about that.
It's nice being right. I guess it's like when a doctor diagnoses cancer and gives you 6 months to live. There's probably a part of them that wants you to go in 6 months. Yeah, you know, they're sad, but they'd like to be right. Yeah. Streak alive,
it's
you know what I mean?
It's bittersweet when the guy passes.
Brian's doctors are so pissed.
Yeah, I think
the one that got away.
Well, there's got to be a part. Like, I mean, there's, you know, it's like if you work at a brake place and you're like, well, those brake pads and rotors, you can drive home, but you're not going to make it another 5,000 miles without having those. The guy doesn't want to see you in 110,000 miles going, no problemo. Hey, expert, what do you know?
Yep. So what else you want to try and sell me?
There's a part of me that was sort of relieved when I realized everyone was eating and I was paying other people to clean around them.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Satisfying.
Adam, I already know the answer for you. Brian, I don't know if you grew up with housekeepers or a cleaning person.
No.
We didn't either, but my best friend did. And we were always told you have to be out of the house while they're cleaning because, A, your kids and you're going to bother them. And also, it was like a shame thing. Like, you don't just sit around lounging while someone's cleaning your house. You have to make yourself scarce.
Yeah, I remember I was about 15 or 16 when my mom first got like a once a month housekeeper. Like, then she started to make some good money. And so she hired a housekeeper, and we had to like get the house in order for the housekeeper.
You have to clean for the housekeeper.
Clean up before the housekeeper came over.
Yeah, I've been my bad. Have fun. Get Matt Fondelier drunk, or I was going to say drunk tonight.
Impossible.
But get him drunker tonight, and then say, honestly, the maids and Adam's house and scheduling. Tell me about that. He will break down and cry. It's been 4 years of me trying to schedule the maids not to be there when I'm there. Because it's like I'm always on the road. I'm always out of town. I'm always out at night. I'm always out in the morning. But there are a couple of days when I'm actually there. And when I'm there, I'm like in my bathrobe, in my slippers. Like I'm enjoying this downtime that I rarely find. But the maids will come banging on the door on that day, and I'm constantly working that with Matt. And yes, I shouldn't have run into them at the house.
By the way, Matt Fondelier, is anyone else appreciating his hair on this trip? Because it is telling a wild story.
Yeah, I think it's the humidity has gotten hold of it.
It's the humidity. It's the alcohol. He's Boat Matt. I enjoy Boat Matt. Mm. I am really, really liking that.
Well, one more story, you got Gina it. Grant.
So this is like the third one of this kind in the last month, but I chose this one. Hackers uploaded a porn video which showed up on digital screens outside the ASICS shoe store in central New Zealand. And this is a thing, like this is a trend lately. Like I think it's a, like, you know, having someone's house swatted. People are hacking into these electronic billboards and putting porn up everywhere. The video lasted for almost 2 hours to the shock and horror of shoppers and onlookers.
See, everywhere these
it's
days.
It's everywhere. Right. At least two of the offended shoppers.
Sorry.
That's good. People demanded apologies from the shoe store, a full investigation, and people are just hacking into these digital billboards.
Also, how's that? And people just start laughing because they go, we're sorry for you bangus Uranus 13 being displayed in such graphic detail.
When you wanted to know about the sale.
Press release.
Look, at a certain point, this is sort of what shotguns are for, right? Like, at some point, the manager's just got to get out and shoot. Literally take the sign out.
Yeah,
right?
Number two, you got to take care of business.
If there's no way to cut that power. Also, I like this part. It's the only thing I like about those mobile freeway signs mm-hmm. now that say, you know, merge mm-hmm. or single lane or whatever. They roll yep. those things out and put a cone mm-hmm. next to them. People do tweet me how they've hacked into those and written blow me on there, whatever it is. I mean, that is a good... There's a happy side to yep. this would, hackiness.
Would you be flattered if somebody paid some sort of homage to you?
Yes. Yes.
Like block your behind and
yes,
get it
yes,
on.
Yes, I would. I'm going to put it out there now. I've asked for people to record them in a casino or a hospital or an airport paging Harry C-word. Mm-hmm. Please hack into one of those signs continue. With Behyman. All right, let me hit Castrol. Want a chance to win a trip to Vegas and meet me? Head to your local AutoZone. You'll be entered automatically with the purchase of Castrol. Pick up 5 quarts of Castrol Edge Motor Oil and SCP Extended Life Oil Filter for just $33.99 and use those AutoZone rewards to automatically be entered to win. It'll be a 3-day and 2-night trip to Vegas to meet me in November, right, Dawson?
No purchase necessary to enter to win. Open the residence of the 15 United States, District of Columbia, and Puerto Rico. Must be 18 years or older. Sweepstakes valid September 24th through October 21st. Void but prohibited. See your local AutoZone store for more details.
And we're doing a cruise in 2020. We're going December 10th through the 14th, New Orleans.
Yeah.
Yay, Mike. Mike August loves New Orleans. Oh, yeah. Reserve your spot at CorollaFanCruise.com. It's a good, I got to say, Parker does a great job. Mike yeah. August deserves praise. You guys and myself and the whole crew deserve Dr. Drew for not feeling like, hey, we got your money, now I'm going to go to my cabin and watch TV. Like, everyone is accessible. Everyone's out. Everyone's pressing the flesh. Yeah. Drew's standing in there for 2 hours, people taking pictures with him, getting up, singing karaoke. Like, it's a really... I think there's two ways you can approach this. You can approach it like some band that doesn't really want to be back together but needs a check, alimony check, and you go, screw it, I'm going to go out, do the least amount possible, then go back to my room and lock my door. Or you can kind of just dive into it head first. I think everyone here does that.
Oh,
everyone,
yeah, I say so.
And why not? People are nice. You know, look, occasionally there's the drunk guy who wanders on stage or something. That goes with the territory. Right. But I mean, I think the whole crew is just dived in head first. And I think it makes it more enjoyable on your end too.
Absolutely.
Right.
Yeah. Brian and I, we did a little couples dinner the other night and then went down to the dining room and hung out. And I don't know, I think it's the Jew in me, but I had to go sit at every single table before I left because people love it. You pull up a chair, you mess around with people, you talk to everybody, and people's faces light up because it's like, oh yeah, Gina, hey, I haven't met you before. And crashing people's tables is my favorite thing to do.
Most people are confused.
Oh, they weren't with us.
Can we kibitz? All right. What do I got, Max Zapata? Oh, I got a gloat. Yeah, I told everyone bet big on that Israel Whitaker fight. I can't even say the guy's last name. We had RJ Bell on the other week, yep. And I told everyone go big on that fight. Yep. I don't pick that many fights a year. That guy crushed the other guy. Was over, I don't know, 30 into the second round or whatever. I've never been more correct in a gambling nice. Prognostication ever.
You lay something down on that?
I laid down 10 large on that.
What?
Yes. But that's nothing for me, sweetheart.
Oh, my God.
Yes.
Chump change.
Well, I'm not. It's a weird thing. Now, Brian knows I'm not a gambler. Mm-hmm. I don't bet football games. I don't do much of that.
Nor should you.
But when I see... in a fight, I go, you got to go in.
Oh, my God.
So I went in. Mike went in.
Yeah.
Mike's not been happier. Never been happier about it either. All right. So, Neil deGrasse Tyson is coming in a second. So until next time. We're not over. That's right. We'll just throw it to. We'll take a break. And Neil deGrasse Tyson is next.